The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The crowd said to Jesus, "What sign can you do that we might see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to Jesus, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord. Little housekeeping item, just for FYI. If you're following along today's Mass in your Magnificat or in a Missal, you likely won't find the Mass in those books. I'm saying the prayers for the conclave that are in the Roman Missal, prayers said so rarely you might only hear them, you know, once or twice in your lifetime. I haven't said these prayers for 13 years at least. So just let you know, until we have a new Holy Father, I personally at least will be taking the Mass prayers for the conclave. But a little thought for you here for the day. They say, you sow a thought, you reap an act. You sow an act, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. You sow a character, you reap a destiny. And that's a small way of saying that big things begin small. None of the great monsters in history, Pol Pot or Stalin or Mao Zedong or any of those, they weren't born terrible monsters. They became that way, one choice at a time. All the sins which we all struggle with every day, one way or another, we chose to struggle with them by choosing to commit those sins, one choice at a time. Great things always begin small. But you want to know the good news? Just as is true for evil, so too is it true for good. Sanctity starts small. Keep that in mind as you hear the story that we heard in our first reading, the story of the martyrdom of St. Stephen. It was our first reading today. It was our first reading yesterday. Now, there's lots of great lessons from the martyrdom of St. Stephen. One of the most important is the spiritual power that comes from faith-filled suffering. Now, don't misunderstand. Not just suffering, because anyone can suffer, an animal can suffer, but suffering in faith is where all spiritual power comes from. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Our strength came from the witness of saints like Stephen or Lawrence or Agnes. These early martyrs who shed their blood for the faith converted nations. And all spiritual power comes from such faith-filled suffering. You find at the end of our first reading that they lay their cloaks at the feet of a certain Saul. And there's no doubt that it was the suffering of Stephen that gave Paul the grace he needed to have his great conversion. But today, we're not going to talk about that. Instead, we're going to talk about the power of small things in making great holiness. Maybe you hear the stories of the martyrs, maybe you hear the stories of the saints, and you think to yourself, "I could never be like that. I get it, they were great, I admire them deeply, but I'm just not made of the same stuff. I can't imitate them in all that they do." And that might well be true today, but I tell you this, you can certainly imitate them in their beginnings. No martyr became a martyr out of nowhere. And understand this about martyrdom. It's a great gift. Someone once told you, remember this, someone once told you that if that gift is ever given to you, it is a very great honor. The saints tell us that you can tell in heaven who a martyr is. They call it a crown. I don't know whether that's literal or figurative, but it's an eternal honor. No purgatory. They all go straight to heaven. But nobody ever became a martyr out of nothing. They shed their blood for the faith by first dying 1,000 small ways in advance. Saint Stephen didn't leap to glorious martyrdom out of nowhere. He started by waiting tables. He was the first deacon, waiting tables and helping out poor widows and being faithful to God's small plans. He was ready for God's big plans. Now, a lot of people look around the world at events that are happening these days and they worry about what the future might bring. If I were to tell you of the sufferings of Christians in places like North Korea or Afghanistan, you wouldn't be surprised. If I were to tell you that in places like Nigeria or South Sudan that Christians were being thrown into prison for their faith, you'd say, oh, those poor people, we got to support them with their prayers. But today, it's not just such far-flung places as that, but formerly civilized places are showing very real threats against the faith. I'm talking about places like Australia and Great Britain, places like Canada and California and Washington State, where Christians are being thrown into prison or threatened with prison for simply holding on to the most basic of all Christian beliefs, things people have held to since the dawn of all time. And you want to know what? It's nothing new. Anywhere in which the government has tried to assert itself as being an absolute authority, Christians have been a threat to that government. Because our divine Savior told us, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to God what belongs to God. And only God is honored as an absolute. And that's why Christians have been and always will be a threat to those who cannot tell the two apart. I don't know what might come. Heaven alone knows the future. I only know this. I know how to prepare in the present. And the way in which we prepare in the present is by being faithful in small things. If you sin, go to confession. If you sin, say an act of contrition, repent in your heart. Be faithful to your daily duty. Be faithful to prayer. Don't cut corners, and for the love of God, if someone's hurt you, put all of your effort into forgiving them and leave the rest in the hands of God. From the pulpit, we'll hear stories of great saints in the past, and in the past, there have been giants of the spiritual life, and you want to know something, brothers and sisters? We are not among them. This is a weak generation. We can barely do the bare minimum. You know, people have a hard time getting through Good Friday with so much as a fast of one normal meal and two smaller meals. People have a hard time doing something so simple as showing up to Mass on time or staying until the final blessing. People have a hard time sitting for so much as 30 minutes or an hour in constant prayer. That's okay. That's okay. God's really funny, you know. It's very often that he chooses the weakest and the smallest and the poorest to do his greatest things. And in that sense, this might be the best generation ever to accomplish God's greatest works. But I do know this. If God ever calls you to be faithful to his big plans, he will first call you to be faithful to his small plans. And that is our task today. Remember, this life is not your own. Our job here is to be faithful to the Father's will as best we're able. The glory comes later. And that's why we pray with St. Stephen, with our psalm response at all times. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. Amen.